Now you remember, I think we did it at the beginning of last year. We did that, my commitment my kingdom commitment to 2023 is, okay, Nathan, sorry bro, out of line, way out of line already. First meeting and now he's moved to the front. But you can go sit at the back if you want to, you know. And do you guys remember what you wrote on your cards? Hey, now this is not up to me to kind of pull this out and say, did you do this? This is between you and the Lord. And the reason we did this was to set your sights, set your focus for last year. Now that's gone. Last year's finished. We're in a new year. So what? There are fresh things. Fresh things we believe God to commit for. What is he saying? There's, you know, consecrate yourself. Don't be a loose end. You know, plug in. Be part of what God is doing here. And that the journey's in your hands. You know, yes, he guides and leads you by his Spirit, but the journey's in your hands for you to walk and the desire to serve and to see his kingdom. Now, the reality is also, we had an amazing end to last year. Our 30th celebration was just beautiful. You know, to have my dad here with us and just celebrating 30 years of his goodness, and to hear Dave and for Bob telling stories about how good God has been to us as a community. You know, and we had a few weeks left up. But the world is in turmoil. What's playing out in the Middle East here? What's happening around the world? What is it causing? Again, this is another incident and another thing that is polarizing people. Separating. God is using this, though, for his glory. Okay? The challenge that we have as a South African is the path our government are choosing right now. Okay, if you're unaware, if you've been living in a bubble for the last kind of couple of weeks and don't know what's happening, it actually started with our, I don't know what to call these guys either. They would be known as the head of the church in South Africa, you know, of the traditional church. And there's not the Pope, but he's the kind of high, and he's the leading kind of all these church groups and stuff. A delegation of them went to Gaza and to go and spend time with people in Gaza in solidarity of what they're going through. Yes, we don't like war. We don't like people being killed. We don't condone, and we don't like any of that stuff. They came back from their delegation, and after that, our government have now taken Israel to the International Crimes Court and are basically calling it a genocide of what is happening in the Middle East. Now remember, if you are unsure about our position of understanding Israel, you need to go and listen to what I preached in October 2022. And you need to get that Google Drive folder and listen to the position of who we now are as the church in relation to Israel. The church hasn't replaced Israel. The church is not the new Israel. We are the true and the real Israel. So there are a lot of people in Israel that are Jews that are not believers. They are people that are just fighting a war that is an old covenant war that is continuing. But who you align yourself with is crucial. And our government has chosen to align ourselves with the Palestinian people, which puts us in a very precarious position. Okay? Also, you have to understand, we align ourselves with Brazil, Russia, India, and China. With this BRICS thing, okay, it puts us in an interesting positioning. We don't know the answers. We don't know what the future holds. That's why I want to speak into stuff here this morning. I can feel in the room people like, okay, we got a new year ahead of us. You know, it just there's a lot of things at stake here. There's a lot kind of going down, a lot happening. It's how we position and how we gain perspective on this. You must understand too that also. Through time, not Time to Rise particularly, but a lot of organizations through South Africa have, I don't know, some of you might have seen it, but who hasn't seen the statement that the Church of South Africa put against this legal kind of fight? If you haven't seen that statement, I'll put it on our WhatsApp group and you read the position they're giving from the church. Now you must understand something. There is the church in South Africa, and then there's the real and the true church. There's a big difference. Those men and those people going as a delegation are not standing with us. They're a very different church in South Africa. They don't hold to and adhere to the truth that we're adhering to. They've compromised on the truth of the word, and now they are the voices that are speaking out and standing up for what's happening. Do not be ignorant to what's playing out in the Middle East right now. Okay? And there's nothing we can really do but pray and say, God, you move. There was a Jewish man that prayed at the end of November. We had a Time to Rise meeting, and he prayed a prayer, and I thought, that's the prayer. And he said, Lord, we can't stop this. All this is happening. All that's taking place. May this move of our government be the reckoning for our government. May this be the ending of what who they're aligning themselves with. Let this be their end. Because that's God that moves. And we have to do it through prayer. You have to hold this in your heart, saying, God, use this. You move. You use this for your glory. What this is causing around the world with all this anti-Semitism and this hatred of Jewish people. Hatred. And then we were in the mall in Blue Ridge before we left, and there's a lady that runs the frozen yogurt shop. And I'd known her from years ago when I worked in the security industry, and I did some stuff with her husband in the area and the house. And I said to her, and she's Jewish, and I just said to her, Sue, I want you to know we stand with you. We don't oppose, we stand with you. And I know this is hard for you as a Jewish person. We stand with you. And she said, she was like, firstly, I think she was like, how did you know I'm Jewish? She goes, like, you can just tell, you know. And her heart was like, thank you. Thank you. That's all it is. We're just standing with you. God, what's happening with all this anti-Semitism, it's creating a remnant of people on this earth that believe the truth. And God always works through a remnant of His people, the Israel people, but it's causing this group who hold on to truth. The remnant are never the majority. We are never the loud voice. We are never the one leading the way. We are a majority that hold on to truth, and then God breaks in. And He does it. And that's what we have to believe for. Do you know that 60% of the people around the world are going to go and vote this year around the world? 60% of the people of 8 billion are going to be voting. That's 5 billion people will be casting votes this year in nations around the world. Do you think maybe there's a season of a shifting happening? God can do miracles through this. Lesotho had a miracle 2 years ago when they got this business guy and he won the election and he became their prime minister. And he's bringing reform and order. Don't lose hope. I can feel you're hopeless. Come on. Yeah. Don't lose hope. Okay, our God is mighty. That's why I wanted to remind us of what Paul spoke about here on the, I think it was the last weekend of November, 20th of November, 19th of November. Paul David Guidry from Boston. And what did he say to us? He had that encounter with the Lord. And he read from Psalm 27 that says, one thing I've asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For He will hide me in His shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of His tent. He will lift me high up upon a rock. He's speaking about dwell in the house of the Lord. Be knitted in. Don't be a loose end in a washing machine. Okay? Gaze upon the beauty. Be fascinated by His glory and the magnificence of His presence that we get to have. And inquire in His temple. Ask of Him. Find out. What are you saying, Lord? What's happening in these times? If you want to study more, go to the Bible school. Inquire. But what is that position? It's before Almighty God. It's not before News 24 going, we're frack, ons is in Moeilikheid. It's before Him and His Word. And then you read News 24. Who are very annoying now because every article, you have to subscribe to News 24 to actually pay. I can never read an article. I think I'm going to go home and delete that app. I'm sorry. It's very annoying. I'm not paying them 80 rand a month or something like that. It's crazy, man. Okay, so it's time to say yes in your hearts. Because what the Lord is forcing upon us over these last 2 years, and like I said to you, what if I'm going to give you a title, it's going to be the reality of what we're facing versus faith, hope, and love. Those things. Okay? Let's read 1 Corinthians 13, 12 and 13. So let me just get there. First 1 Corinthians 13, we all know, is the chapter of love. Verse 12 says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly." People are asking more questions than answers in today's time. In a mirror dimly, we see dimly of the future, what's coming. But then, face to face, meaning clarity, we will see Him in His pure glory and the magnificence of who He is. It says, "Now I know in part." Okay? We all know in part here on this earth. We all have the times, the realities of what we're facing. We know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I have fully been known. One day we will fully understand and know just as I have been known and how God understands and loves who I am in His eyes. We will fully know. And here's the verse. So now, faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. So now faith, hope, and love abide, meaning they're together, they're with us, these three, but the greatest of these is love. See, the reality is, and we all face reality every day, is the world is on a knife's edge right now. What's happening with China and Taiwan and America and what they're saying, and surprisingly, the Justin Trudeau from Canada supports South Africa. That baffles me, because he is just not that guy and his government. But the world is on a knife's edge right now. We've never faced what we're facing. None of us were alive during World War II and the build-up to what was happening and playing out. The hatred, the anti-Semitism around the world is just like it was in 1938, 1940 right now. It's even worse. Think of the times, the world's on a knife, the economic pressure, the financial pressure you might be under. There's a reality to that. And we as a church feel that. Okay? There's a pressure with finances. That's a reality. We all know that. We're not going to carry on like nothing's wrong. Okay? You might be going through struggling with health issues. And your body, this tent here on earth, is giving you issues. That's a reality. And it's hard to face sometimes. And the things we've got to come up against, like this lady I sat on the plane from Singapore to Joburg, and we dropped people off in Joburg and carried on. So we got talking, and I was exhausted because it was about 4 in the morning at that time, for us 4 in the morning, and I needed to sleep. I was tired. And she started confiding in me that she was at her daughter's place in New Zealand, and the reason she was only supposed to come home on the 14th of February, her husband is terribly ill, and she had to cut her trip short. And she's coming home to a very ill husband. And so I just spoke life over her. And I said, does your husband have assurance? Does he know that if he is going to pass? She says, no. I said, you need to go and speak words of life into his ears. He says, but he's semi-conscious. I said, don't worry. He will hear you. Just go and speak life. Just go and speak words. Ask him. He's now at that point of desperation. And when she got off the plane, I said, grace to you and peace to you as you've got to go and do. And she starts crying, moved, because she's got to face this stuff. But she knows with Jesus, she's facing a reality. Her whole holiday was cut short with her daughter and the grandkids and the fun they're having. She had to face reality. It's difficult. It's challenging. Struggles. You might have relational struggles with people. You might have tried everything that you can to build unity in this relationship, and it's still in a mess. It's still at odds with each other, and you can't find peace. It's a reality. You can't run away from it. Okay, you might have the challenges of needing work or challenges at work and the things you're facing. These are realities, folks. And we can easily view these realities of what is ahead of us. And I know we're all in that place because no one's, woohoo, 2024. Here we go. We're all like, okay, another year. We've been through a lot in the last 4 years. We're jaded people. Because there's a lot thrown at us, and the world and where it's at right now, and our own lives, there's a reality. If I'm honest with you, I'm in the same boat. I'm not like, okay, here we go. We've got challenges up ahead for us. How are we going to get through? How are these things going to work, God? We're not afraid to that stuff. Reality. Reality. Now, I can also preach to you and shout at you and saying, you're not the tail, you're the head. Come on, arise, shaken up, what pressed down, shaken up. You stand up over it, and I'm not beneath it, I'm above. I'm not defeated, I'm more than a conqueror through Him. And everyone stands, applauds and claps, and nothing changes. Because then you walk out and you go like, You face reality. You're like, okay, I'm going to have to do this stuff. Your emotions are stirred and you'll feel excited and nothing changes. That's not church. Okay, that's hype. We're talking reality here. You're going to walk out this door and the immediate thing that's going to come to you, because there's an enemy, is going to remind you of your reality. So what are you going to do about that? How are you going to face that now? You've got a bit of a challenge there. You're never going to fix it. You know that this thing's never going to come right? You're never going to put it together. Who are you? There's reality. We all face it. None of us are afraid of this. And I can play to your emotions, because all that I said to you there now, that excitement, was all scripture. Holding on to the word, brother. But everything around you is falling apart. Reality. Reality. What it requires of us is putting into practice what we know. And again, Google teaches me lessons all the time. Google Maps this time. Google Translate has done it. Google Maps. We're driving around Australia. You don't have a clue where you're going. That blue line just leads you to where you need to go. And this lovely lady keeps talking to you, saying, 300 meters, turn left at this turn, and then you just take that veer off that way. Eventually, I didn't need her anymore. I put the blue line away. I knew the way. I knew the path. It's exactly the same in your spirituality. As a little girl and little boy that walks with their mom and their dad, they hold their hands at first. And you guide them and you lead them until you don't need to hold their hand anymore. They can start walking on their own. This is what's required of you when you put it into practice. You start living and walking the things of spirituality and kingdom out in your life, where you don't need all these things to talk and help me pull you through. You're standing firm on your own 2 feet and you are walking the line where the blue line is, but no one's telling you where to go. You know where to go. You know what direction to take. You know how to stand. Because you can't tickle your emotions here, because you're going to walk out the door and you're going to face reality. Some of us are little things we believe in God for. Others are bigger things we're trusting. Say, God, you need to come through for us. Nothing's different. It's all the reality of what we're facing. And when we live from understanding this deep assurance of truth in who we are in our spirits, we understand the truth and the foundation of who Almighty God is. So let's talk. That's reality. Let's talk of these three things: faith, hope, and love. Now, when we think of faith, okay, what verse comes to mind straight away? Sorry? Hebrews 11. Okay, other ones. You think of faith, what verses do you get? Abraham, by faith. By faith, Abraham believed God. Could he see it? He couldn't. The reality of it was like, really? By faith. Okay, so let's read Hebrews 11, chapter 1 together. Let these verses build our understanding and our faith of what we walk and how we do the things of God. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says this. Now, faith is substance. Some verses say the assurance. Substance is a better word. The substance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We are believing in a community for things next door here on this building. I can't see that building right now, but I can see that building. That's faith. Believing and trusting that you can't see it in the real, but in the spirit, you can believe it. So now you're facing challenges in your finances. You're facing challenges with relationships. You're facing challenges in your business. It has to require faith for you to see where God's going to lead you. If you read further down in Hebrews 11, it says in verse 13, it says, these all died in faith. It speaks of all those heroes, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on this earth. See, faith puts a perspective into what we live and believe for in this earth as sometimes greater than the things in eternity. Eternity is your greatest reward. That's what you're living for. This part and time that you have on earth is believing and walking with God. The last, the very last line in Hebrews 11 says this, and all these that by faith, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us they should not be made perfect. You see, their hope wasn't in this earth. Their hope wasn't in the things they were facing and the reality of trying to make things better here. They faced the reality of stuff. They lived their lives fully to the things of God, but yet they didn't fully see it and they weren't worried about that because He had something greater for us. He has something better for you. But it doesn't mean you stick your head in the sand and go, oh, it'll go away. It's not there, I promise you. Many Christians do that. And you hope it goes away, it's not going to go away. And you're going to, don't look at it. Face it. And how do you face it? By faith. Say, God, help. Help me to see what You are saying through me and using me and walking through me. Faith. Hope. What verse comes to mind when you think of the word hope? Okay. Yes. That's it. Anyone else on hope? The living hope. Okay. Romans 5. Romans 5. Let's read that. Peace with God through faith, it says. It says, therefore, chapter 5, since we have been justified by faith, you believe by faith, you are saved by faith, not by works. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, and here comes the reality, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. You can't buy character. Character comes because of what you suffer and how you face and you persevere through things. If you want to be a strong believer in your circumstance and your situation, where you work or where you go to school, character will get you through. You can't teach character. Character's learnt through what you face. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And I just think what you walked through last year and the year before. It wasn't easy, but it's built character into you because of your strength of having to have faith in God. He has the most powerful part. And hope does not put us to shame. You don't have to be shameful about anything of the realities that you're facing, because your hope is in God, not in those things that you're trying to, and the things we face on this earth. It's in Him. Our hope is in Him. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. For while we are still weak, at the right time, God died for the ungodly. And then love. Faith, hope, and love. What verse comes to you when you think of love? John 3:16. Anyone on love? Else? 1 John. That's right. There's also on love. But the one that came to me, and I always have to remind myself, because we all know John 3:16, and I always think of these World Cup soccer matches, there's always some oak with a sign there on the side, John 3:16. I'm like, what is that? How does that happen? Anyway, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We all know that verse backwards. But you know what I have to remind myself is that He's actually talking to Nicodemus when He says that. And Nicodemus was a Pharisee who was like, really? You are the Son of God? Meaning God came in the flesh. You, yeah. Yes, for God so loved the world, He sent His Son so that whoever perished would have everlasting life. Believe in Me. It's because of love, folks. And when you read Galatians 5 and the fruit of the Spirit, the first one is love. Because none of those others, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, none of those can work if you don't have love. And you can only taste of love when you know that how much you are loved by the Almighty. And you can only give love because you know of how much He loves you. He's not angry with you. He's not upset with you. You might have had a rough December and now you're like, just slowly getting back into the, okay, I'll sort myself out, and you're going on a diet, and you're going to do all these kind of things, and you're going to sort yourself out. He's not measuring and judging you because of bad behavior. He loves you because you're his child. And he's wooing you to him to say, live for me. Don't be stuck in the washing machine as a loose piece. I think that's going to be a line that's going to stick with us all year. How's the washing machine? It's like you want to be that washing that when it's gone through the spin, it's like stuck together. You've got to like peel the stuff apart. Eh? That's what he's looking. Knit yourself in. Love. Let's read 1 Corinthians 13 together as we finish up here. 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. I have met people in ministry who are noisy gongs and clanging cymbals. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned like a martyr, I hand my body over, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Now, you've all behaved like that line there somewhere along the line. We've all done that stuff. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends or never fails. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, and when I became a man, I gave up childish ways. Meaning, I don't need the Google line anymore, I can stand in what God has built into me to walk on this path in life. And then what I read at the beginning, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall fully know, even if I has been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. That is why this year we're all going to face reality. We are facing reality. When you build your life on these faith, hope, and love, you look at your reality through the lens and the eyes of Jesus, the Spirit inside of you, and you look at your circumstances. Through faith, through hope, without being put to shame, and love that you have in your hearts. And you look at the world and the things that are playing out, you look at all your circumstances, your perspective is different. Because now you know you're secure on this foundation, and you're not on rocky ground here, because this earth is fading away. It's fading away. And it seems to be happening more and quicker than ever. That's why we need to ground ourselves in these things. That's why Psalm 27, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. To gaze upon, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in His temple. So going forward this year, folks, you can't put your head in the sand and hope your reality goes away. And it's just going to sort itself out. You've got to face up to stuff. And you can only do that from a secure place, if you have faith, hope, and love carrying in your hearts. I can feel the somberness in this room, because we all going through stuff. Okay, so you're not alone. There's no one of us that are like, woohoo, everything's just hunky-dory and perfect. It's not. We all have things we're going to face, because we don't do it alone. I want us to do a declaration this morning, Bella. There's the one that says there, it's called Open your eyes. Sorry, your eyes open. We want to do that one together as we finish off. But what I want you to do, before we do that declaration, I want you to sit for a minute and just remind yourself of the promises that God has spoken over your life. Yes, you draw upon the promises from His Word. And Abraham understood the promises that God had spoken to him. But do you know the promises that God has spoken to you? Because if there's one voice you want to hear over your heart and your life this year, is the voice of the Almighty. The voice of social media, the voice of YouTube and all these other places and sermons you can hear from all over the place. Fine, that's great. But you hear the voice of the Father speak over you is more assuring than any voice. And once you hear His voice, nothing else will satisfy you. So let's just close our eyes just for a minute. And I want you to remind yourself. And if you don't know what the promises are over your heart, you need to inquire of the Lord. So you have to dwell in the house. You have to behold His beauty and gaze at Him and inquire. Just 1 minute. We're nearly done. What are those promises He's spoken over you? You're believing for. And then you add in that mixture, faith, hope, and love, and how you go forward. Father, I pray You remind people of Your goodness here this morning. I pray You remind us of those promises. You had to remind Abraham when years down the line, he was like, really? And then You reminded him. Remind us, Lord, of the things You've spoken over our own hearts. The things we can believe for. The things we can trust for. And I release faith into your hearts this morning. I speak a hope over you. And may you know the love of the Almighty, who will never ever reject you. He will never turn away from you. And we arise as God's people with that faith, hope, and love in our hearts of all that we are facing in this world right now. We hold on to you, Jesus, who is in you. Ray spoke about this at the end of the last. Christ in you, the hope of all glory. We honor you, Almighty God. Amen. Let's stand together, and then I want to do this declaration together, and then we're going to pray as we go in faith and hope and love this morning. This declaration comes from Ephesians 1, verse 17, and it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Your eyes, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints is. And we're going to speak over your eyes now. You're going to see through the faith, hope, and love. And let's do this together in faith as we declare this over your lives for this year. Today, I decree that my eyes are open to see what heaven is saying and doing in this important season. I pray that I am filled right now with spiritual wisdom, insight, and understanding. I declare that all spiritual blindness, confusion, deception, and darkness dissipate, and that my heart and mind are flooded with light. I prophesy that I have an understanding like the tribe of Issachar, to discern the times and seasons. I declare that any ungodly ideologies of the world will not infiltrate or control my beliefs, attitudes, and choices. I break the power of every ungodly soul tie and every lie from the enemy that is preventing me from gaining a righteous perspective. I say today that truth, divine revelation, and perception permeate my being, and that nothing shall be able to enter my eye gate that is not from God. I place a boundary around my eyes, ears, and thoughts, and I say today that my eyes are open to see clearly according to the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's just lift our hands together. That's a very powerful declaration. Because everything of the spirit of the world right now is asking you to compromise, is asking of you to fall into the politically correct spirit, is asking you to believe ideologies of this world. Nothing will enter those gates this year. You will hold on to the truth of the Almighty God. And Father, I speak that over in faith now over this community. Our eyes, our ears, and our mouths will be ones that will hear truth, speak truth, and we will not fall into the trap of the enemy that will make our reality seem so big and so real. We hold on to faith, hope, and love. And we live from that foundation. We live from that place of truth. And we thank you, Jesus, that you are the truth. You are the way, and you are the life. And Lord, and we just commit this year to you, Almighty God, in your hands. We will face stuff, but we face it with you. We face it together as a people, walking in faith that you have good in store for us. And we release you by the power of your name and the power of your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 It's very good to be back. We will see you next Sunday. Amen. 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 Amen.